Hello, Courtney Kane.
Hello.
Hello, hello. I'm not where I'm supposed to be.
You want to explain that one?
That forever will remind me of the TikTok about your nipple in a tank top when you go to sleep at night. Not you as in you.
Oh, thank you for clarifying. It's like the full boob, not just the nipple. And if you're a woman and you have ever gone to sleep in a tank top without a bra, you know what we're talking about.
And then you wake up in the morning and it's hello, hello. I'm not where I'm supposed to be.
Wake up in the morning feeling like a nipple. I'm poking out the tank top.
Oh, okay.
I have nothing after that.
All right.
I tried.
Well, that's good because that wasn't really going anywhere that anybody wanted to know.
True.
Welcome back to another episode of Life with Beth and Court. I'm Beth.
I'm Court.
And today we are talking about how living in an RV has impacted our relationship.
What emoji am I right now?
You're the grimace face.
Yeah, for people who don't know what that is, what emoji am I right now?
The...
Yeah. Grimace takes a minute, but if you go... Everyone
I don't know how
knows.
To spell that, but...
I think I just spit.
It's like S-H-S-H.
No, it's like a...
Now we're just making a lot of gross sounds in the microphone.
It's the teeth-bearing emoji. Like if someone tells you something really awkward and uncomfortable and you're like,
What serendipitous timing for this episode.
Oh my gosh.
Because the Titans just clashed two days ago.
And the funny part is I put a poll out on Instagram to ask our people what they wanted to hear us talk about next on the podcast episode. And I did that before... The Titans clash. So it was like, we're going to talk about our relationship.
Maybe you willed it into existence.
Well, I would like to take that back and try again.
Okay, so.
I'm still doing the
So there is a lot that changes when you go from a house.
Yeah.
With, in our case, we each had our own separate spaces. I had an office with a really cool fucking mounted TV and my entire weight set and a standing desk with an external monitor and a lounge chair. Man, my room was awesome now that I'm reminiscing. It was really cool. And then you had the God and Glitter room.
Oh, thank you for giving a very equal description of each room.
Well, I'll let you gush about yours.
I don't need to.
Oh, okay.
Everyone knows that it was fabulous. And if you don't, then just take my word for it.
Well, and we also have video of it.
Yeah.
That we'll be releasing sometime soon. And you'll get to see it in real life.
I haven't told anyone about anything other than our adventure seekers.
Well, then lucky to our podcast listeners. You are on the inside for knowing that at some point... There will be footage of Courtney's room. I don't think that's that inside.
Anyway.
So in our house, we each had our own room. And in the rig, we do not have our own room.
Take our spaces and take it all away. Mm-hmm. Take away all the rooms in the backyard and the garage, because you used to spend time in the garage quite a bit, and
yeah.
I would be in the backyard, like,
and
gardening.
Our backyard was the tits.
Yep. I would be in the backyard working on stuff. So there were lots of places for us to go if we felt like we needed our own space, and we weren't in the middle of a global pandemic. So I think the two biggest factors at a 10,000 foot view before we go to the other views that we are living in a box and we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah. And I would also say, now that you said those things out loud, that we had a lot of activities we could do when we were angry. Like, I would angry build the shit out of some stuff in the garage.
What did I do when I was angry?
I think journal.
Oh, so I could probably still do that here.
Yeah, you could do that here. But you, yeah. I mean, I don't know what you did because I wasn't around because you were angry at me.
Well, the other thing is we had two vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We could each go on a drive.
And so when we get frustrated, like sometimes the person who's frustrated needs to leave to have their own space. Or if the other person is having a moment and you're like, okay, you need your space, I'm gonna leave, there was an option. Sometimes we both leave. Sometimes
yeah.
we both get in our vehicles and just go and like go for a drive to clear our head and come back. So one vehicle
Mm-hmm.
200 square foot box,
mm-hmm.
and in the middle of a pandemic.
Isolation, yeah.
So, well, and let's talk about that, because you and I had a conversation before the Titans clashed this past weekend. I think it was last weekend we had the conversation mm-hmm. about missing people, and you were feeling really nostalgic for like college and like summertime with our families.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just having this great conversation and you were like, I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know why I'm feeling all of this. I'm like, because we're in isolation. Like, even though we have each other, which I'm very grateful for
most days,
even though we have each other at the same time, like we are removed from a lot of the things that we're used to, and we're not even at home. Like, it's not we have a pod like other people talk about. Like, we are so far removed. We're in places we don't even know, and then we're not even around friends or family. So that is still isolation. And I know that people see us traveling and they're like, oh my gosh, that's so cool that you're getting to do all these adventures. Yes and no.
Right. And typically I would think that we would be meeting more people around bonfires.
Right. That's what I thought too.
Yeah, because like we've been at a couple different campsites where we have said hi to the same people. People get in their routines, and so we've seen people, you know, we'd see the same people walking in the morning or in the evening, or, you know, we made some friends who helped us back our rig in a really weird, tough spot at one campsite, and we really liked hanging out with them. And so you and I have both said to each other, man, if COVID weren't a thing, I would just have them over and we could have a bonfire. We could make dinner together and stuff. So I think if we weren't in the middle of this madness, we would also be interacting with humans more naturally and more often. And so I think there's a lot of different factors at play when you take into account that we downsized our space. We took away human interaction. We took away everything familiar to ourselves. And we took away a car. And we both started EMDR therapy.
Yeah, I was actually going to transition into that. So I think it's just important to know if anyone else is experiencing some challenges, that it's normal because we're meant to be around other humans. And yes, we talk to people online, we FaceTime, we have Zoom calls, but it's not the same as, you know, there are studies that prove like your energy and someone else's energy exchange when you are spending time together. And so you're missing that physiological connection. So also, yes, we started therapy, and not just any therapy. We started EMDR, which stands for eye movement desensitization reprogramming, reprocessing.
Desensitization reprocessing?
Yeah.
I think so.
A combination of those words. And basically, that is a very intense type of therapy. And I don't say that to scare people. I guess it's different for everyone, but it has been known to be intense because you are going back and visiting traumas that still trigger you or something traumatic that happened to you. So you're basically going back, watching something traumatic that happened to you, like a movie, processing it in the moment, which brings up some big feelings and emotions, and then you're reprogramming your brain to not be as reactive when it sees that again. And that can take time. It's not like one and done. Like, some people do EMDR for years because it takes so much work.
And when you think about it, the point of it is to reprocess trauma. So it's not a light type of therapy, like you were saying. Not that any therapy is really light, but it's not just like, oh, here's how my day was today. It's like, all right, think about the most traumatic thing that ever happened to you. Let's go back and let's look at it in depth.
Yeah.
So I don't know if at first we were like, it's kind of cool going through this process together. And now I'm like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
Yeah. And so we'll go back a little bit. So we're talking about all the factors that are different. But when we talk about how our relationship has been impacted since we've been on the road, just hang on to all of those because they will come into play. So let's go back and talk about just our relationship in general. So I would say at the beginning of our relationship, it was the typical happy-go-lucky, what do you want to do? Let's hang out all the time. You know, I think that's pretty typical in most relationships. And then we actually moved into a phase where we've kind of talked about this on prior episodes, but like, I was I couldn't emotionally regulate. So I was just like crying all the time. And then I would get drunk and get angry. And you would have some explosions too. Like, it was rough for a minute. I don't know what marker that was. I don't know if that was like year two or year three.
Well, I think looking back, we can safely say now that when you would get drunk and angry, it would trigger me, and then I would trigger you, and then we were just like, you know,
yeah,
we were like two guns going off, like pew pew pew,
yeah,
with our triggers.
And I think so we had to do some work there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we had to identify and say, okay, this is really unhealthy for our relationship, we're doing damage on both sides. But again, when I went to therapy, I physically went to therapy. Like, I left the house, I sat in front of another human, and when we would need to cool off, which is what we were instructed to do in therapy, one of us would take a vehicle and leave, or, you know, you would go in the garage or whatever. Like, so when there were challenges, we found our own rhythm of like, mm-hmm. what we could do, where we could go.
That was also couples counseling. So that was,
oh,
that
were you there for that?
Oh my God.
I can't remember. I knew you were.
We have a really healthy relationship, if you're wondering.
No, I knew you were there for part of therapy. Was it during like that shit show time?
Yeah, because you were traumatizing me during your episodes.
Okay.
We've been to couples counseling.
Yeah.
A lot.
And I feel like, honestly, I feel like all couples should go to counseling together in the beginning, because we all are carrying baggage. We are all carrying baggage, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not. There's no way you don't have something. And when you have baggage and you are merging your life with another human, the odds of them not like popping the baggage open and letting, like pulling everything out and messing it around and just like getting into your space, very slim to none.
Well, I would say that when you start spending a lot of time with someone, the chances of not accidentally triggering them based on trauma you don't know was there, and trauma that they might not even know is there, and triggers that they don't know are there. So that, not only is that already setting you up for some kind of failure,
yeah,
but then when you try to live with someone,
whew,
my Lord.
And sometimes you don't even know stuff is a trigger or trauma. Like, I remember I got really good at identifying triggers, but then once in a while I would be like, why the hell am I so upset about this? And I was like, oh, I didn't even realize that was a thing. I was trying to explain that with the suitcase, the baggage analogy. Was it not working? Okay.
All right. You just repeated exactly what I just said.
Oh.
But I'm glad that we both agree.
I was actually listening this time.
Okay. We tend to do this a lot, where we say the same thing in different words, and then we argue each other until we've pounded our heads against each other for a couple hours, and then we're like, wait, are you saying exactly what I'm saying?
Yes.
But like in the opposite way. Like, I'll say, we should go right, and she's like, no, we should go not left.
That's created a lot of unnecessary frustration. So yeah, we definitely had a tough point. I think it was like the year two mark. That's what's sticking out to me. We went to couples counseling. I learned how to manage my emotions better, how to not let emotions rule my life, because at that point there was no emotion and logic, or as they say in DBT, like wise mind and emotional mind. It was just all one, and it was mm-hmm. very exhausting and very terrible for you. So we found our
yes, it was.
So we found our rhythm, and then I feel like we were just in this coast, like this solid coast, where like we would have inspiring conversations and we would have tough conversations, but once we got past all of that, I felt like we were good, and people would like ask us for advice about like communication and our relationship. And I so naively thought, like, we've got this. Like,
yeah,
this is just, we're going to coast forever, and it's going to be so
So then
great.
We were like, everything is going so wonderfully. Let's shake it up like a snow globe
no.
and see if we can still survive it.
No, we did not make that decision consciously.
Mm.
So I would say when we left, and this is like a tribute to how good we were at coasting, we sold everything we owned. Super stressful. Sold our house. Incredibly stressful. Found a camper. Really stressful. Found a truck. Very stressful. It, like, that whole thing was so crazy. And we were, like, so good through all of it.
Yeah, we didn't fight at all.
We did not fight at all. And if there was a platform for, like, let's put this situation into play and see if people fight, that would have been it.
Yeah, we had pressure coming at us from every single angle. Yeah. We both were working full time.
Super stressful.
We were doing Life with Beth and Court still. Yep. Until we weren't, and we were like, this is bananas trying to record podcasts in the mm-hmm. middle of this. Selling everything we own, sorting through memories so that we could get rid of things that we've had forever.
Like if there all were of to the be pressures. An explosion, that should have been the time. So again, I'm like, oh my God, we are so good. And we are so fantastic, and we've done so much work. And, like, we're just going to be, like, this till we're 90, and it's going to be great. And then I would say when we first hit the road, maybe not was it first, it was, like, three stops in. We had the, where was that, Ohio?
KOA? Yeah, it was KOA in Ohio, Streetsboro.
Yes, so it's not traumatizing at all. Mm-mm. We remember the exact location. So that was what, our third stop, second stop? That was our second stop.
Yeah, because it was like the Casey campground in Michigan.
Here I am. I'm like, yeah, we like made it past the beginning. No, this was two stops in. Okay. That's when we realized, and I won't go into detail because we've already talked about it on another episode, but like we processed this whole new lifestyle very differently, and we were so frustrated with each other. And I started crying, and we were still doing well at this point. It was like a baby firecracker compared to what comes after this, because you sat down next to me and you could tell I was upset and you were frustrated, but you like stayed with me and you sat down. And we talked about it, and that didn't work. We both got more upset. Mm-hmm. And then you went for a walk.
I listened to Taylor Swift.
And this is the funny part. And we'll share like the most recent situation, how this pertains. We always end up going to the same spot when we're frustrated. Like, you guys, there could be so much space, and we always end up going in the same spot. So Beth found like this really cute spot over by the lake, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do some stuff around the camper, and then I'm going to go for a walk. And then sure as shit, like I had this really cute space in my head, and I walk up and she's staying there, and I'm like, ugh.
And she tried to like play it off cool, like she was just doing a random circle, but she kind of zigzagged like a lost duck, and that's when I had listened to enough music to calm myself down, and then I stood up.
Because I was prepared to storm away.
I know.
I was ready to zigzag duck out of there.
I would also say that has changed in our relationship, too, is that before, you used to always be the peacemaker, and now I'm like, hey, let's just talk about this and be done fighting. And you're like, oh, we're going to talk? Because I was prepared to go two more days without talking.
I did say that this weekend.
So I think that's changed, too. But at that point,
I was the peacemaker?
Well, yeah, you used to always, I'd be like fuming and you're like, hey, I don't know what just happened, but like, let's talk about it and let's be okay with each other.
Me.
And now
I'm like, let's go.
Yeah. Like you're swinging for the fences when you fight.
I'm like lockdown silence game. You want to play the silence game? I can play that game.
I would say that as far as fights, or we used to call them inspiring conversations. They're not anymore.
I'm so glad.
They're not inspiring and they're not conversations.
I'm so glad we agree on that because we've been stretching it. And I'm like, I don't think we can call them that anymore. I think back when we were coasting, they were inspiring conversations. But now they're like firecrackers.
Right. Like I said, the clashing of the titans.
You should share the analogy that you shared on our hike today.
I think one of the biggest differences since we moved into the rig is that it's like if you were to shake a carbonated beverage in like a bathtub size container, like it's going to fizz a little, but like there's plenty of room. It's not going to fizz over the edge. It's not going to explode. It's like a pretty big body of carbonated beverage.
I feel confused. Like if you shook a Coke in a bathtub?
No. If you shook a large container full of carbonated beverage.
Like, what kind of container? I really
need to
visualize this. I
literally want to walk away right now.
Okay.
We talked about this earlier. How are you the one struggling to visualize this?
Because earlier I pictured a Coke bottle in a bathtub.
Really?
Yeah, because think about it. Shaking a soda bottle in a bathtub, there's plenty of room for it to spray where it needs to.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you are, if you shook a massive body of carbonated beverage, it's going to fizz some, but it's not going to like explode or overflow anywhere because it's, there's so much of it. There's so much space. But then if you take that carbonated beverage and you put it in a teeny tiny little bottle and you shake it, then it explodes because there's nowhere for it to really go.
I had that really wrong, but I know. Now I'm
and
with
that
you.
And now mm-hmm. it, now outside of that moment, it doesn't even sound like there's no way to shake a bathtub full of carbonated beverage. I understand that. I'm just saying, all I was trying to say is before we had a large space to explode, and now we have a tiny space and one car, so there's no space to explode. And it's not like you can just go outside and like do some random activity like chopping wood or something, because you have neighbors too.
Oh,
on
my
top of it.
Gosh.
So
okay.
Like, so yeah. It's like you can't even storm out, you can't angrily work out outside, you can't cry outside. Like there's humans so close to you everywhere. And obviously it's not the case for everyone, but the campsites we've been staying at, this one's actually pretty cool. There's not anybody like within four spots of us, but typically you either get the camper, you get the truck,
mm-hmm.
or you get outside.
Mm-hmm.
But like if you wanted to be the one that took the truck and the other one took the truck,
oof,
then you get pissed and
then
you're
it
like
makes it worse.
I wanted to be in the truck. And then, you know, like the other day you were like, I'm gonna leave. I was like, no, I'm gonna leave. And then we like argue about who's gonna leave. And so anyway, there's nowhere to like process your emotions in private. Like even if you just go to the backyard before in our house, you could just angry pace walk in the backyard and no one's really gonna bother you. But here, if you're angry pace walking and you've got tears running down your eyes, your neighbors are probably going to be like, hey, is everything okay?
Yeah. And I think just hearing you say that, because like we're typically not like big slammers or stormers up until recently. When we are coasting, we did not do these things. But it's almost like that's part of the therapeutic release of it. Like if you need to storm off or you need to slam a door, so you're having these really big emotions, but you have to stifle. That's how I feel, like I have to stifle them. And there are three big fights we've had. And one, remember we were walking around, because we always walk around like the campground we're staying at. And literally, it was like 3 hours before our fight. We walked by and we could like hear this couple.
They were going at it.
They were fighting so loud. To be fair, they were in a pop-up camper.
So. Yeah, so it was not exactly a big sound barrier.
But literally, karma was just like hanging out when I said, oh my gosh, I never want to be that couple. Like that's mm-hmm. that
you said,
sucks.
I'm so glad that's not us.
I'm so glad that's not us. And karma was like, and it was funny. And then that night, that was like the first fight. And you took the truck, and that was when I never had thought about it. Like, mm-hmm. who takes the truck? And I got so pissed because, like, Scarlett is both of our truck, but she's my baby. And I love Scarlett, and I'm always like, she makes me so happy. And now my girlfriend is taking away my happy thing, and I'm stuck in this camper. And mm-hmm. it was, like, 40 degrees.
Yeah, I was going to say, that one was particularly, I think, fueled by the fact that the weather was, like, 40 degrees. It had been raining for 4 days straight.
We were trapped in the camper for 4 days.
Uh-huh.
It was freezing, raining, like
couldn't
no
go anywhere
because
there's
yeah.
COVID. We were right in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
So a lot of places still didn't have indoor seating, nothing
oh
like that.
God.
So we couldn't go to a cafe. We couldn't go anywhere. So we were literally stuck in the box together.
I think that was even when we were like taking turns sitting in the truck sometimes too. Just
no,
to, like,
not yet. That was in Alabama.
Oh, so it was awful. And I remember when you came home, so you were gone, and our rule is like we always keep our location on just to know that the other one's safe, like just to know they're okay, nothing's happened, you know. And usually we drive to like the nearest grocery store, like somewhere that's well lit and safe. But I remember you were like gone for a very long time.
And I was because I was writing our newsletter in the truck downtown.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to go to bed in the dinette. I am going to remove this table and put in this little rickety block of wood with legs that
it
shows.
It's terribly uncomfortable.
We should like post a video in the show notes or a photo to show like it's basically a piece of particle board.
Uh-huh.
And then the cushion like slides off it. So you're sleeping on wood. And I was like, I am not sleeping next to her. And I said, and you know what? I'm going to watch Sabrina, the Teenage Witch, the one
scary
that she
version.
Hates, the scary version. I'm going to turn it up really loud. That way when she comes in the camper, I will be fake sleeping and she will have to watch scary Sabrina.
Yeah. Cause you were also sleeping on the clicker.
Oh,
so,
I hit it.
Yeah.
So you had
so that
to
I couldn't
like
turn
figure
it off.
Out. I was really trying to sleep, but I was upset that we were fighting. But when you came home, I was sure as hell not going to let you know I was awake because I didn't want to talk to you.
Right. So she turned on scary shit to try to scare me, hid the clicker so I couldn't turn it off, then fake slept in the dinette. Meanwhile,
it's fine. I'm in therapy.
Meanwhile, I was over there growing up and maturing and
oh stop
I
it
no
stop.
No hold on, I said when I came home and you were like all trying to spite me, I was like, come sleep in the bed, you're not sleeping on the dinette, you're not going to get any sleep. And you were like, I don't want to. And I was like, go to sleep in the bed, I promise you I won't touch you, I'll be on this side of the bed. And you were like, fine, but only because I want to. And also here's the clicker so you can turn it off. So that was fight number one.
Man, those were the docile days when you were like, come to bed.
Yeah.
So that was
the docile.
That was fight number one. And we reflected. So every time we get in a fight, we reflect and we're like, okay, how did this go wrong? What just happened?
We do a postmortem.
We do a postmortem.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my gosh. That was really unexpected. Okay, I'm going to focus. Now I'm picturing a dead body in the morgue. We don't even let the body cool. We're like, let's just go. And we try to figure out what happened and like what went wrong. And we both own our parts, like what we could have done better. And so that time we totally just chalked it up to like, it's been raining for 4 days. We've been trapped in here.
Oh, it's election season.
It's election season. Like how silly this was. And it will never happen again. Okay.
It happened again.
It happened.
Spoiler alert.
Twice more times. That's not
a sentence. Twice more times. Yeah.
So we learned from it. We talked through it. And we're like, okay, we're good. So that was relatively, I don't know.
That was November.
Yeah. So about a month ago, we were at another spot in Florida. And we were very close to our neighbors.
Uh-huh.
Like packed on both sides and then packed behind us like a whole row of campers.
Mm-hmm.
And Beth had made friends with these awesome elderly gentlemen who were super cool and super fun. There were like what, 5 or 6 of them?
I wouldn't call them elderly. They were just older than us.
That's elderly.
No, oh my God. No, it's not.
What are they? Olderly?
Well, they were retired gentlemen.
Okay. That sounds weird, but yes, they were retired gentlemen, and
they ran the neighborhood association. Basically, there was like all these activities, and they were like the board. So
they were
cool. Very friendly.
Yeah. And so here's what we've learned: we trigger each other, and we kind of knew that before, but now that we're both in intense counseling, and your job is to recall triggers and like understand patterns of where they show up again. We didn't know it at the time of this fight, but you guys, this is what happens when you have neighbors on all sides of you and you start to fight and you can't storm. You start to like,
you whisper. Yell.
Yeah. Like, is it
like whisper? A stage whisper?
What is that?
Like a stage whisper is when you're doing this, but you can definitely still hear you.
Yeah, so it starts like that because all of your windows are open and it's freaking nice day, so you know everyone's out walking around and you're like...
Plus, we had some neighbors who just literally just sat there with no reading material or cell phones or anything. Just sat there to like enjoy life.
Like
and so,
7 feet away?
Yeah, and there was like nothing else to focus on except what you could maybe hear, smell, see, and we were definitely audible. Yeah.
we were so audible. So it started as the whisper yell, and then like one of us hit the other's trigger, and then it goes up a notch, mm-hmm. right? And then you're like secretly trying to close windows as you're getting pissed off, and you're like,
let me close this window so I can yell at you.
Yeah, and then you're like pacing, and there's nowhere to go. So I ended up in the bathroom, and I literally just walked in, pivoted, did a half circle, and walked back. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is not working. So it ended up being like a full-blown fight, like very loud,
mm-hmm.
very loud. All of our windows were open because we couldn't get there fast enough to close them while we were whisper fight yelling.
Whisper fight.
I think that time you left, or did I?
Yeah,
leave?
No, I left.
You left, and
have you noticed a pattern?
Yeah,
I'm a leaver.
Yeah, fight or flight, right? Yeah. When we are triggered, it's fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, and. Or get even more triggered, as we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
And so you left, and I was like, okay, I'm going to talk. Thank God we had counselors at this time.
Like yeah.
We had been in counseling, and it's all online, so you can, like, text them or message them if a situation's happening. And my counselor just happened to check in. She's like, hey, I just want to check in. And I'm like, oh, do you?
Oh, do you? Are you sure you want to?
Let me tell you what just happened. And
meanwhile, I drove, as you said, to a mile down the road to the nearest grocery store parking lot.
And then you just sit there.
And I texted my therapist. And the funny thing is, our therapists are in a relationship with each other.
Yes.
So our therapists are engaged to each other. Yep. And so we always are like, I know you're not supposed to, but I wonder if they tell each other. Like,
yeah.
Man, they got in a really bad fight today.
Yeah. What did yours say?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you came back and there was something that happened that like, so let me take a step back. We had been in the process of starting EMDR, and part of what they have you do in EMDR is you have to fill out a very extensive questionnaire,
mm-hmm.
like birth to current. So for me, that is 33 years, and you have to go through and like recall every single trauma that's happened to you. And so I had just filled out that questionnaire, what, like 2 days before that?
Yeah, something like that.
2 days before that. That might not seem like a big deal. And I think on the surface, I was telling myself it wasn't a big deal. But when you have to rehash every single micro trauma or major trauma you've ever had, like that's a lot to bring to the surface and then just be like, sent. All right, talk to you later. And so you came back. I got severely triggered, like severely to my core, uncontrollable sobbing, which that hadn't happened. And I don't know how long. Like that was.
That hadn't happened in like 3 years.
Yeah. And I couldn't get it together. Like I just could not get it together. And at that point, you came over. Actually, you caught it in the panic. Like you mm-hmm. caught it right as I was like. You could hear the panic in my voice. You could see it, and you immediately came over. And then that's when I lost it. And I cried for probably like 2 hours straight.
Yes.
It was a core. It was like the deepest trigger I have. And I realized as we were talking and processing that it was drudged up by me filling out that questionnaire. And so we then in that conversation had been in therapy enough to know when you said this, it triggered this in me. And when you did this, it triggered this in me. So we just so happen that when we fight with each other, we trigger, like we get to each other's triggers.
Yeah, because your triggered state triggers me.
Yes.
I'm just saying the word trigger a lot.
Yeah.
So that one resolved fairly quickly after that.
Yeah, we talked. Like, I cried off and on for, like, 2 hours, and I think we talked for, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But I remember we were, like, I would not go outside the next day because I was, like, I know damn well.
We were pretty mortified.
I was, like, let's go. And you're, like, where are we going? And I was, like, we're just leaving this campsite. And you're, like, we can't. We're here for another day. But I remember just feeling so embarrassed because, like, one, we've never had this. Not never. We hadn't had this level of fighting in a very long time. And mm-hmm. so that was new for me to like be in that space again. But two, like you don't even have privacy. And that was really tough.
Well, plus these people know you for a week.
So
you want to be like, hi, you just happened to catch us.
Yeah.
Like in our third fight of the year, so
yeah,
we don't always behave.
And that's
this
what
way.
Everyone says. We don't always fight like this. I feel like I say that to my counselor. I'm like, we don't ever fight, and I'm like, fuck, it happened again. And then the last one was literally 2 days ago, and same thing, super bad, like really upset with each other. And so I stormed off, and it was very late at night, and I took a flashlight and I found a well-lit spot, and I sat there, texted my counselor, and I was like, hi, we really don't fight a lot, but it just happened again. And then I came back and I made the mistake of trying to, like, I had worked through it, and so I was ready to talk. You were not ready to talk.
Mm-mm.
And so then I made you upset, and then you left, right?
Well, you were, you said you were going to leave, and I was like, no, I'm going to leave. So I left, and then you were like, no, I'm leaving, so you can have the camper. So you got in the truck and left.
That was out of kindness, because by that point, I was like cooled off enough that I didn't want you sitting outside, because again, we find out that when we're upset, we go to the exact same spot. So I went and sat at a spot, two picnic tables, well lit, kind of sketch to the right side. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit here long enough to cool off and then go back. And I didn't want you, like, it was very late at night, and I didn't want you outside by yourself at a dark campground. So I was like, I will leave with the truck so you can have the camper.
And I only returned to the camper because I needed to finish the dishes. And
of course you did.
In the camper, as we said, you spend 85% of your time doing dishes. And so I was like, I don't want these dishes all over the counter in the morning. I'm going to finish them. I finished them. And then you came back. And then I was like, I'm going to take the trash out. And so then I left again. So it was like this back and forth of trying to not be near each other. But there's, like, very limited things you could do because, A, it was cold. B, it was dark.
It was bedtime, too.
It was, C, it was bedtime.
And I'm past the point in my life where I will stay away because I want to prove a point and be stubborn. I'm like, no, I'm exhausted and I need to go sleep. So I just got ready for bed, went to bed, closed the hospital curtain so there was, like, some form of privacy.
And then I came back. At some point, I edited videos until I was ready to go to bed. Went to bed. Neither of us addressed each other.
And we are snugglers. We are, like, hardcore snugglers. Like, every night, someone's spooning someone. Someone's cuddling.
Oh my God.
Or we're, like, laying on each other's chest. So, like, we feel the depths of how bad it hurts when we both have to curl up in corners on opposite sides of the RV bed.
Yes. And then in the morning, you slept in. I woke up.
Was I sleeping? Or was I just awake behind the curtain and didn't want to tell you I was
probably,
awake?
Probably. And I was editing videos again. But anyway, so we talked through it. It was a bit of a painful talk through. And then it turns out I can't feel emotions until I feel all of them at once. And that day was, and I felt all of them at once. About, like, emotions I've apparently had for 6 months. But I do a really good job just locking them up and putting them away because they're not convenient. Which is, of course, why I'm doing EMDR. So, anyway, all that to say.
I wouldn't say you do a good job because we don't want to portray that behavior in a positive light.
No, I mean, it's not a positive behavior, but I am really good at it.
You are.
I'm very good
really
at
good
it.
At bottling your emotions until you explode.
Yeah. So, anyway, that day, everything just, like, came to the surface. We worked it out, realized that there's, like, a ton going on in my head and apparently my heart. And
hello, heart. Where
I feel
have
like
you
the,
been?
I feel like the Grinch. Like, my heart needs to grow 3 sizes. Anyway, I was just going to say, I don't want this entire podcast to focus on the 3 fights that we've had because I think that our relationship has changed in some ways that are positive.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that. But
so,
you got to wrap that one a little better. Here's the
how
thing.
How did it go?
Here's what
I black everything out afterwards.
I will take care of this, sweetheart. Here's the thing. Our fights are so much more intense than they used to be, and they're fucking exhausting. Like, we both said to each other on the last round of Mortal Kombat ready for battle.
Finish him.
What are the other things it says?
I don't know. Is that the only thing?
Finish him.
What's a scorpion and the freeze guy?
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. We'll have to look it up and put some sound effects in. But we both were just like, this is freaking exhausting. Like, we cannot keep doing this. And we have to find a better way to, like, proactively communicate. And we talked about how we can shift our relationship. Like, you have a lot going on right now that you didn't even know you had going on in your head and heart. And I'm like, okay, I can do this to support, and like, how can I help here? So really, it's just like we need to be proactive. And secondly, that's where everything we mentioned before comes into play. Like, mm-hmm. there are a lot of factors that play here that were not before. And so we just have to give ourselves grace and like room to breathe and be patient and know that it won't be this way forever. Because I think that starts to feel like, we both have admitted when we are in a fight, like, we both just like go extreme ends of it. Like, well, now I'm going to have to get my own camper, and now I'm going to have to like,
now I'm going to have to get a sprinter van.
And we both admitted, I was like, yeah, I would just get my own camper. And she's like, yeah, I would too. And then like, so we'd both be like traveling out in the world, but not together. But at the same time, like, we can joke about it now, because we know that's just like our brains trying to rationalize the situation. That's not what we want. Like, we would be totally devastated and heartbroken.
Well, and speaking of the factors coming back into play, like yesterday when we had sorted out that apparently all my emotions were flooding at that moment, later that day when you were just like this is a sign of like how many factors were at play other than the actual fight we had. We were putting groceries away, and you said, we heard our neighbors having a bonfire with friends. Mm-hmm. And we both were like, oh man, bonfire with friends, that'd be fun. And you asked me if you could have a bonfire right now with only 10 people, who would you invite? And I said, my sisters. I couldn't even get like my sisters out. And I was like weeping like a baby, putting the lettuce away. And you were like, oh no, that was supposed to be like a fun exercise of like, yeah, when we can see people again.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, at one point when you were having emotions, the first part of the day, you were like, am I detoxing?
Yeah.
Like, it's so odd for you to have weepy emotions for that long. You're like, there must be another explanation.
Well, and I was like crying and I didn't know why.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's happening? I want to be done now. And then it just kept happening. And I was like, I looked at you like a child. And I was like, I want to be done now. And yeah, you were like, oh, sweetheart, this is what it feels like to have emotions. And I was like, I don't like it. Put them back.
And that is what we call, for you bottlers out there, the great release. Where,
man, that was exhausting.
If you don't deal with your emotions when they show up, they will just force their way out in a 2-hour crying span.
Exhibit A.
Anyway, so it sucks and it's exhausting. And we know that all we can do is just take it one day at a time. And I think it's heavily impacted. Like you said, like, we thought, oh, this is cool, like, we'll do therapy together. But man, it's a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a good idea anymore.
I don't either, but we're already in it. So we're going to figure it out.
So we're in therapy. We're working on our own shit. We're working on shit together. We're working through isolation on the road. And I will say, though, that there have been some pieces about our relationship that have changed for the better.
I did not know this. I'm excited to hear them.
Well, I think that there's just like certain things that we have adapted to take care of each other in different ways. Like, I know that you like when I vacuum.
God, I hate that little strip of carpet in the camper.
So I will vacuum, and you know that. So I know that floors are your thing. You want the floors to be clean. You don't like when things stick to your feet
no,
when you're walking.
No, who does?
So I will clean the floors as an act of service for you. You know, I don't like the counters to be dirty because mm-hmm. there's approximately 20
Two
inches
yeah.
of counter space. And yeah. so you will make sure to clear the counter space. Or, you know, when I go to, if I ever go to the store without you, I'll bring back flowers. because I know that it reminds you of how we used to always have flowers at home.
And I bring you ice cream.
And you bring me ice cream. And you also, your love language has sort of turned into making food. And so, like, if ever I'm sleeping in, mm-hmm. you'll close the hospital curtain and and you'll make, like, pancakes, for instance. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we've, our
and back
love
home,
language.
Back home, I was like, figure it out. Like, whatever food you want, figure it out. And
she's
now,
like, here's a banana.
Here's a banana. I took three bites, but you can have the rest.
So I think, like, we've turned to these, like, micro displays of affection and love languages for each other. And I think that in some ways our love languages have had to turn to acts of service yeah. because, you know,
we get
like,
enough fucking quality time. That's for sure.
Well, not only that, but like, for instance, you know, the floors are a much bigger deal now. You know what I mean? Like, back home, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because there was more place for dirt to be or what, but like, the floors were not that big of a deal.
We never vacuumed
or like yeah. counter space, for instance, right? Like, we had an entire U shape of counter space. So the counter space wasn't that big of a deal. But now it's like, you kind of have to, you know, keep those spaces clean. And if you know that one space or the other makes the other one feel better when it's clean. Like, you know that I don't like when everything's in disarray. And so, like, to be respectful of me, you'll mm-hmm. put everything in a pile.
Yeah.
But, like, it's those little things where you can tell that the other one cares because mm-hmm. you've heard me say, for instance, I don't like when the floors are dirty. So I will take it upon myself to clean the floors. Or mm-hmm. you know that it will help me to continue, you know, editing or producing whatever mm-hmm. I am on the computer for Life with Beth and Court if you make grilled cheese and tomato soup. Mm-hmm. So it's just these, like, little acts of service that have become, I think they mean a lot more in such a small space. And I guess, like, part of the RV lifestyle is that everything takes more time as far as, like, you know, in a house, you never have to empty your septic tank, right? Like, and even if you do, you call someone. But, like, for us, every couple days, we have to take care of our black tank. And then we have to, you know, put a treatment in. And then we need to take care of the gray tank. And, you know, things like that are when you have to pack up and move. Like, there's so many more hours of, I wouldn't even say maintenance, but it's just, like, the act of living in a mobile trailer as your home just takes more time, which means it means a lot more when the other person is doing these, like, mini micro acts of service for the other.
Yeah. And I would say, in addition to that, like, your communication has to be in lock with this lifestyle because, you know, for example, if we have our gray tank closed and one of us goes to take a shower and we haven't communicated that's closed, and then all of a sudden dishwater starts flooding up through the bottom of the shower while you're taking a shower.
Like, gray tank's full.
It's disgusting. But it's stuff like that, or even just like on travel days when we have to hook up and unhook, it could be a miserable process. Mm-hmm. Like, we've seen people make it a miserable process.
Yeah.
And we're like, please just get walkie-talkies and stop shouting at each other.
Yeah, people typically look pissed when they're pulling into a campsite.
Yeah, and it really is, like, not to sound corny or cliche, but it's like a dance. Like, you both have to be on the same page. You have to be in rhythm. You have to be in sync. And getting pissed off that the other person isn't doing their part the way you want, like, it's not going to fix the problem. So I feel like it's changed our relationship that we already thought we were good at communicating, and then we had to add in, like, a whole additional layer with this lifestyle. So when we fight, like, the day after we fight, we're just like, oh my God, I'm so glad we're not mad at each other. Do you want to just hold hands? Do you want to cuddle and watch a movie? And we also have been getting better, which is hilarious because we used to preach this to people, and I'm pretty sure it's in a podcast somewhere, about thanking each other for the little things.
Yeah.
Like, even though it has to be done, I'll be like, thanks so much for doing the dishes. Or you'll be like, thanks for making lunch. Like, it really does go a long way. So I feel like we're both really trying to, like, do the acts of service and go the extra mile to, like, thank each other. Maybe we just need to go back and listen to our old podcast.
Yeah, right.
I don't really
know. We need to go back and listen to season one when we're in our wise mind.
Yeah.
Instead of our emotional mind.
But this is life, man. Like, life is not coasting. And naive Courtney is so adorable, and she thinks it'll just be coasting, but like, that's not how life goes.
Well, and I also think that even when we spend time together, you know, movie nights are fun, but like, we also spend a lot of time playing cards now, and we both like sitting out where we are right now in the clam hut with, you know, solar lights on and, you know, playing cards by candlelight. And I think that that helps give us a lot more intentional time. Plus, you know, like you mentioned, we make a habit of walking around the campsites that we stay at. We typically walk in the morning and sometimes in the evening, most times in the evening as well.
I think that's another part of it too, is you have to make sure that you're in the best place you can be. And so for both of us, that's exercising regularly. And for me, that's meditating and journaling. So, you know, it's really easy to just like be pissed off with the other person. But at the end of the day, like, you can only control you. And so I feel like we both do a really good job of trying to make sure we're our best selves the most we can be. It's not always perfect, but I feel like even when it's not great, we like catch it and we're like, okay, let's get back on track, because it does make a difference. If you're going to be in a box all day with another human, like, go get your puppy energy out and, you know, get your mind right and do some gratefuls and be your best self.
I would like to say that our trailer is quite nice. We keep calling it a box, but that's just because it feels small when there's two of us who are erupting with fireworks.
We do love our home, but it's just very small. It reminds me of the Boxcar Kids. I think that's why I call it a box. Didn't they like run away on a train or something?
I've never heard of them, so I'm not sure.
What the hell? Where were you in middle school?
I don't know. I often get berated about the movies I haven't seen.
Well, we will now Google the Boxcar Kids, and when you see it next to our camper, you will understand.
Okay. I think that when you thank people for what they're doing, it shows them that you see them and that you appreciate what they're doing. So when you say thank you for doing the dishes and I say thank you for cooking the meal, if you're not assuming positive intent, you're like, why would I thank you for making the meal? I did the dishes.
Right.
I did my part. Instead, it's like, no, just thank them for making the meal or thank them for doing the dishes. Like, yes, you did your part, but they did their part too. Another thing besides that, that's like, just again, it's just a micro behavior that I think helps us, is trying to do anything you can to show the other person that you hear them, see them, understand what they're going through. With like earlier when you're like, my sinus is hurt because there's a lot of pollen in the air. The cupboard was just as close to you as it was to me. But I said, do you want me to get you some medicine out of here? Just some sinus supplements. And you're like, yeah, that'd be great. Like, I didn't need to do that because literally you knew we had sinus supplements. I knew we had sinus supplements, and both of us could have reached our arm across and gotten them. But it was like an act of showing, like, I'm trying to care for you. Or when you said, I'm cold, some tea would be nice. And I was like, do you want me to make you some? You and I are literally sitting in the same place. But it's that act of, how can I take care of you in this moment? So I think that the more that we get into the habit of the micro gratitude and micro caring expressions, I think the better we end up.
I will say, I think another thing that's changed is we all have struggles, right? Like, we had a bad day at work, or something's bothering us or stressing us out. And before, again, you had like your own space to process that and feel it and think about it. But now it's like front and center. And so I think that we've been really good about, like you said, seeing the other person and hearing like, oh man, that sucks. Like, that call sounded rough, or like you had a tough day, and really just saying, I see that you're struggling, and like, how can we get through this, or what can I do? Because it does at times feel like that restricted stifle. That's the word. It does feel like that I have to stifle things because there's people around all of the time. But then there's also like, no, hey, this is what happened at work today. Like, you just see it up front and center. And so it's like really vulnerable that you're basically living out loud all the time in front of the other person. And so,
yeah. And learning to like not take it so personally when you're like, wow, you're in a really shitty mood. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean that with love.
Yeah. But like, when I'm in a shitty mood though, and you, for instance, know that like, you know, something at work just happened and it was really stressful, realizing like, okay, if she's short with me right now, it's not because she's upset with me. It's because obviously she's on overload from that call that just happened or whatever. So it's really funny because we say that, like, I have a lot of stressful calls. I don't
know.
Really,
I was just like using that as an example.
Yeah,
like,
I was too, though. And then
we sit across from each other all day at the table. And, you know, I think it's also giving that person space because, like, we don't tolerate being shitty to each other, but like we also allow space of like, I'm gonna take a step back, like obviously you're pissed, and then the other person usually comes around and they're like, hey, that wasn't directed at you, like I'm just having a rough time. And so I do feel in a lot of ways like it's almost like you have to get through the shit to get to the other side. I feel like we're kind of in that a little bit. Like I feel like there are some things that have changed for the better, and I feel like we're digging up a lot of emotions and trauma. And so that's bound to make it a little bit more rocky. But I do believe that we're doing the hard work and that it doesn't feel good now, but we're trying and we're committed to always trying to make it better and work through it. So it's just a rough season.
So overall, I would say that
4 out of 10. 6 out of 10.
I'd give us more than that.
Just kidding.
Overall, I would say that if you would like to summarize how the RV lifestyle has impacted our relationship, I would say our fights are more explosive.
Yeah.
They also happen quicker, I would say.
Yeah, it goes from like 0 to 60. There's no inspiring
conversation. But then, and back down again.
Yeah, it's
like
weird.
It's like you have to get over it quick because we fucking share a bed and a space and there's nowhere else to go.
Well, not only that, like we talked about when they're more explosive and intense, they're just exhausting. And you're like,
right.
I don't have the energy. I did say that to you the next morning. You came up and you like gave me a hug and you're like, I'm sorry about this. Like, can I make it up to you with a coffee date? And like, we start talking and after we're like, oh, I'm glad. Or you said like, oh, I'm glad we talked, like, or something. We're talking again. And I was like, I thought we were going till Monday. Like in my head, I was like, Saturday, you can have the truck for half the day. And then I'm going to get groceries. And Sunday, I'm going to Lake Apopka. And if you want to ride with me silently in the passenger seat, that's fine because you deserve adventure, even though you're pissing me off.
Yeah, which is funny because I was like, I don't care what she says. I'm going to Costco on Saturday and she can ride with me. But yeah. I don't like we always include the other one like in an angry, spiteful way.
Yeah.
But so anyway, our fights have gotten more intense. They've gotten quicker. Mm-hmm. But then also our displays of affection have gotten more frequent and more micro.
Intentional.
And you kind of notice what the other is saying and doing a bit more because, again, you're always around each other.
Yeah.
So, we hope that that was a bit of a realistic view into what it's like to live this lifestyle. And again, you know, if you're considering the RV lifestyle, I wouldn't blame this all on the RV lifestyle.
I was going to say, there's
this
so,
is,
like,
this
let's,
is, there's a lot
let's
going on.
Let's give the therapy a fair shake because I feel like that's like 65 to 70% of the puzzle of the pie.
Yeah.
But it's something to be mindful of. Like, you need to know if you're like me. And I was like, yeah, we're good. Like, there's always going to be rough times. But, you know, it is different in an RV. You're working with significantly less space, at least in our situation. We are in a pandemic, so you can't just, like, go chill at a coffee shop or go to a library or whatever. So, I mean, it is what it is. And relationships ebb and flow. And I think you have to be mindful of that and understand that there will be ups and downs and a bunch of scribbles in between.
Well, plus growth is messy.
Ugh,
and so,
so messy.
Anytime that you're growing individually or as a couple, it's going to be messy, which I don't like.
No.
I said that to my therapist.
You did?
Yeah. She was like, yeah, this might, you might feel this way for a while. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, well, I mean, you're going to have to feel emotions at some point.
Well,
but
especially
anyway.
For someone who is not used to, like, you're used to being able to control your emotions. So that
right.
feels really gross that for however long they might just pop up and then you have to deal with them. But
right.
we'll get through it. We always do.
So we hope this episode was helpful in some way to someone out there, we'd love to hear how your relationship has ebbed and flowed over the years that you've been with your significant other. And if you want to catch the show notes, you can hit those up over at lifewithbethandcourt.com. You can also find us on any social platform. That's not true. We are on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook at Life with Beth and Court. Until next time, keep building your best life.
Bye, guys.